Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, the podcast.
Call the foul. Two really good games last night in the NBA. Joel Embiid doing something that you haven't seen
Philly.
A Sixer do.
Okay, Philly.
In 50 years.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Donovan Mitchell, a great second half, as well as the Jazz take game one over the Clippers. Good morning, everybody. Keyshawn, J. Will, Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance. Alan Hahn in for Zubin. All guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. A very busy day for us today, for sure. But Jay, let's just get right to some social media drama yesterday that involved you.
So, not involving me. I didn't respond back to anybody yesterday. Look, first and foremost, I stand by my story. I was probably wrong for sharing a personal story, but that's what we do. We share personal stories. But yesterday I sat there. I'm not getting back and forth on social media. I was with my family all day, staying positive. It's all good. And, you know, for us, look, man, it was meant as a compliment. There are levels to this. It was about, you know, saying, hey, how different KD is. It's unfortunate that KD felt that way at that moment, but I wish KD nothing but love and all the best success. I hope they win a championship. We talk about them every single day. Shoot, the other day I was talking about him being the best player in the world. So that's all I got to say about that. We're moving on. Kia and I are talking about sports the way we typically talk about sports, and that's the end of that, in my opinion. We rock out and we talk about games moving forward. Now, there's some other people that made some other comments that I might address later on. But we'll save that for another day.
Yeah. Again,
we're going to rise above.
It's what we do here, though. We talk about sports, whether you think it's corny or not. A lot of people like it, and that's why we do it. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776, of course, is the number if you want to be part of that conversation. But as I mentioned, last night's games in the NBA, guys, they were two really good games. Can I say that the Sixers held off the Hawks? They got off to a great start, but they held off the Hawks.
Really?
That's how I feel.
Interesting twist on the narrative there.
Why?
You don't feel like the Sixers kind of came out with their foot on the gas about being dominant, putting Ben Simmons on Trey.
They did. And then you looked up and it was a two-point game at halftime.
Oh, well, of course. Well, it's always going to be a game.
And
it's a playoff game.
Shake Milton had to happen.
And you know the fourth quarter is when in the NBA really gets going. The first three quarters is like,
First quarter sets a tone.
Fourth quarter is where the money is made.
Yeah. And Shake Milton was the guy that made the money.
But they finished the deal. 118-102. Yep. It's over. It's done. They won. Embiid did his work.
He did his thing. I will tell you, though, if you're Atlanta, you feel good about everything. I mean,
you stole one.
You went to Philly and you stole one.
Mm-hmm. You stole one.
You stole one. Now you go back to home court.
Right.
Two in a row. Like,
and if you could hold serve, you come back at 3-1.
Yeah, which is what they did in the first round. And it's amazing to see, really, that offense can still continue to do what it was doing. But the Sixers had to make an adjustment. They did. And go ahead.
I was going to say, I found myself honed in watching that game last night because of Trey and because of Embiid. Otherwise, if them two – you know how we've been looking for star power?
Yeah.
If them two dudes wasn't on the floor, I don't know that I don't know how the two did.
I think about this too. On a day where a center won MVP for the first time in 20 years, right? Center in Embiid was as dominant as we've seen. Another guy that really was an MVP candidate. And then a center makes the big play in the other game, Rudy Gobert, to clinch the win for the Jazz.
I like when I see Joel Embiid play angry. I like when I see him aggressive. It's almost like somebody came to him with his phone and was like, did you see you got one first place vote for the MVP?
Yeah.
Did you see that you got one first place vote? Like when he plays that way and they defend – that's where you think Philadelphia has a chance to go next level.
Because
Tobias Harris is special too, especially with the way he kicks off the game offensively.
But another dominant performance that we can talk about involved Donovan Mitchell. And this is what happens again on the West Coast with a team like Utah where you don't get a lot of attention. But if you missed his second half last night, you missed something special. Like what he did last night, and they tried everybody. They had Kawhi on him. They had Paul George on him. No matter what, he was getting buckets. 36 in the second half, and he was unstoppable, and he was a big reason why the Jazz ended up coming back. They looked terrible. He missed 20 straight shots in the first half. Mm. All of a sudden, the Jazz couldn't make a shot. Like, they just went through a drought, but he turned it on second half. They get the win, 112-109 over the Clippers. But the most important, I think, part of this is a development of a player in Donovan Mitchell who was not, you know, a late lottery pick, and has emerged as a star. And in fact,
at Louisville, he was not like this.
At Louisville? No.
He was a slasher. He was a defender.
Right.
I mean, he would get hot every once in a while, but It was not like this. I don't think anybody really expected Donovan Mitchell to go into this stratosphere, like superstar
where
level.
Where he's come, yes. Right, what he's come. And what he's become. And I remember also the story of Rick Pitino, who coached him in college, was calling teams in the NBA saying, hey, he's better than what you saw. I didn't use him the way.
Yeah, I was going to say college basketball doesn't allow players to really
some use programs. Yeah, right.
Most programs don't allow players to really flourish for you to be able to see their true skill set. So you've got to be able to identify them and say, okay, he fits into my system.
Scout well, you mean?
Yeah, scout well, identify them well to be able to say he fits in my system with no problem, because some of these coaches are coaching their systems.
Mm-hmm.
And in the pros, it's so different. That's the same way in football as well. When you look at a guy, you're like, well, he's okay. And he gets to the NFL, you go, well, where was he at in college?
Yeah. It's I always think of when Anton Jameson and Vince Carter were at UNC. And Anton Jameson was the player of the year.
Great example.
But Vince Carter was the better player. He was the better pro. He just had a better pro game. It's just he wasn't that for UNC. But now what is Donovan Mitchell becoming? We love doing comparisons. Here's Stephen A. Smith on First Take making a very interesting parallel from Donovan Mitchell and a future Hall of Famer.
They got a superstar too, because Donovan Mitchell is on that level.
Facts.
Let me be very, very clear. I'm not speculating. I ain't guessing. I don't need to see. I've seen it. Donovan Mitchell is D-Wade 2.0. This brother is something special.
He was
okay,
definitely
so
special.
When we say 2.0, what does 2.0 mean?
What's
like the next iteration or like a level above D-Wade?
No, usually the 2.0 okay. is the upgrade.
That's what I think.
Yeah.
But it's just D-Wade is older. You're seeing new. Doesn't mean he's going to be better. Doesn't mean he is going to eclipse what everything D-Wade did. It's just like I bought a car in 1989. It's a whatever now. Oh, I buy one in 1992.
Yeah, yeah. It's the next version.
Yeah, next iteration. Okay.
But yes,
next iteration.
But I'm with you.
2.0, I'm like, that's an upgrade.
Yeah,
I'm like,
we're going literal. I don't we're like,
about
oh, better
upgrade.
Features.
It's not
okay.
an upgrade.
All right. I got you.
No.
Just making sure.
Otherwise, why am I doing? Why am I getting the new upgrade? I don't need it if I don't. But the bottom line is
screen
that
is wider.
Not only. But what's interesting, though, is that D-Wade is obviously in the ownership group now. We've talked about that with Utah. He was courtside for the game last night and spent a lot of time talking to Donovan Mitchell in his second half, and you know, even Donovan Mitchell made reference to that, saying how valuable that was to him to have a guy like that in his ear throughout the game. And you know, that's what I think is important when, of course, you talk about Utah and players who want to play there and why D Wade's presence is so important.
If I was the Clippers, I'll complain to the NBA. They got an extra coach.
He's not supposed
to.
Owners do that all the time.
But I bet you if somebody was to raise that as a stink, they would be like, yeah, we need to investigate it, look into it. They're not supposed to have but eight
Jazz
coaches.
Jazz were fined for having a coach not on the bench.
Yes,
like
right.
That.
But here's why I think that move is so important, and here's why I think D-Wade plays a pivotal role. It was like yesterday. I remember watching that awkward moment with Shaquille O'Neal and Donovan Mitchell postgame, right, where Shaquille was like, I'm not sure you're a superstar.
Yeah.
And Donovan said, okay, and you felt it there. You felt it. It was personal
He's
for
like,
Donovan.
That's your opinion.
That's your opinion. I'm going to be that way. So, like I said, like this whole playoff series has been wide open. It's an opportunity for the next gen to really set themselves apart.
Fair point.
And Donovan took advantage of that opportunity last night to show you that he is that next iteration. I'm not saying he's 2.0, D-Wade, but there are a ton of similarities with the way he plays and how he moves.
Think about the Clippers. They gave up 43 times to Luka in the first round, 45 points to Donovan Mitchell. His third career 45-point game in the playoffs, tied for the third most in a player's first 30 games of his NBA playoff career, and he hasn't even reached 30 games yet.
Mm.
28 games he's played so far. The Jazz also did not play with Mike Conley. Keep that in mind as well. He had a hamstring issue, so he was out of the game. One player we do have to mention as well in this game is Paul George of the Clippers. Now, he does get you 20 and 10, but 4 of 17 shooting, continues to struggle with his shooting, 24%. From the floor, 10th career postseason game shooting 25% or worse. The third most games by any player in the shot clock era. Think about that for a minute. And also, like he has been struggling with his shooting. And
well,
now they were taunting him with – the fans were taunting him with overrated. This is playoff
He had 20 points, but he made 9 out of 10 free throws.
Yeah, so he got into the free throw line.
Yeah, exactly.
Right, but the shooting part and, you know, defense was not great either. But as I mentioned, Paul George shooting 24% from the floor. Stats incredible, brought to you by My Commuter Career Training for a better life. So, again, just getting into the playoff games from last night. We got one playoff game tonight, and that includes the new MVP, Nikola Jokic, as Denver gets into their series, game two with their series. Why the MVP, though, will be forever linked to fast food, and it has nothing to do with Nuggets. We'll discuss that after Jay has this from Straight Talk Wireless.
It's time for some Straight Talk. Sure, saving money feels good, but cutting your wireless bill in half, that feels really good. Like walk-off home run in the ninth inning good. Okay, maybe not that good, but pretty darn good. With Straight Talk, you can get 25 gigs of high-speed data for $45 a month, up to 50% less than the other guys, plus no contract, all on America's best networks. Why pay a whole lot when you can pay half? Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise.
Hey, it's Greeny, and the Sixers have evened up their series with Atlanta. One apiece now after Philly wins at home. Who has the advantage? We'll talk about that and more. It's Greeny, starting 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
At the last of the final eight matchups in Market Madness, this is now the Orange Crush Regional
Orange
Final.
Orange Crush.
By the way, we had a blowout yesterday in the Titletown Regional Final. Steph Curry, Patrick Kane. Chicago fans, you let your guy down. Hockey fans, you let your guy down. Steph Curry wins in a blowout, pretty much. It's about 65%.
That was going to happen.
We saw that.
Kind of, saw that. I saw that coming.
Coming,
yeah,
right?
Of course.
Yeah, well, kind of felt
I thought I saw
coming.
LeBron James beating Larry Fitzgerald, but I was
But you
wrong
remember, LeBron was coming off a loss, just like Giannis.
Mm-hmm.
Giannis was coming off that loss. Steph didn't lose, and everybody loved
him.
Loves Steph.
He's cuddly. Like,
yes.
He's just cuddly. He's just
you
Steph.
Know? Yeah, the cooking, the wife, the
Everything.
Little baby, just all that.
They just
that.
Did it so well.
It's just so nice.
Yeah,
it's
right?
just
it's
yes.
So, it's so nice.
It's so
so
nice.
How could you not like?
It's the curry.
How could you not like that?
No,
like it's
join them.
Like
join
when
em.
You just said the Currys, it seemed like a sitcom
it
waiting
does.
To come to ABC.
Oh, there's no doubt.
Yeah,
the Currys.
That could be coming, by the way.
There
it could be
that
coming.
That could be
yeah.
Next up. On the upfronts.
That or like their own network where they do some home improvement, it's a cooking show,
yes,
all kinds
the Currys.
Of stuff.
I
the
love
kids,
them.
It's yeah, there's a lot going on there. So yeah. So now, by the way, so today we have our last Final Eight matchup, Jacob DeGrom and Baker Mayfield.
Oh, this is a big one.
That could be New York, that could
Chicago.
Be an interesting. Yeah. Cleveland loves Baker now. But yet, as according to Chris Kenny, Jacob DeGrom can go wherever he wants in New York City. So that's a big one. That's on at KeyJNZ. You
in
can
fact,
vote.
He was standing next to me the other day. I didn't even know it was him.
How dare you?
Oh,
puts on a Mets hat, though. You know who he is, especially if he's throwing at you. So tomorrow we begin the Final Four. And speaking of Curry, the first of the Final Four matchups is Steph Curry versus Yadier Molina. And that, again, tests the St. Louis baseball market. Very strong. They always seem to be voting and showing up for Yachty. You'll get 2 days of voting this time around. But first today, we finish the final eight. Again, at KJNZ. It'll be up. The poll will be up in a moment. And you'll have 24 hours to vote for either Baker Mayfield or Jacob DeGrom to move on. By the way, speaking of voting, guys, as I mentioned, the MVP of the NBA was announced yesterday, and it was won by Nikola Jokic. And he's the first center.
We knew that. We knew that, though. We talked about
that. Yeah, we kind of knew.
We said that that was going to be the
and
case.
Again, for everybody to understand, the media does the voting. Yes. This is done by the NBA media. I was not asked to vote, so don't blame me. But he's the first center since Shaq in 2000 to win MVP. It's not a he's not a traditional center, although, you know, still, it is the first center. 91 first place votes. 91, which is incredible. Joel Embiid was the runner up. He had one first place vote. Also a center, though, but one first place vote. So this was a runaway. And I know our two guys that love Philly, Pat Costello, Alan Yates, both producers. They feel like this is – well, how would you guys describe it, this award for Jokic? I'll let you guys say it.
Well, it's a perfect attendance award.
Is it?
As far as I'm concerned. Yeah,
agreed.
For sure.
Well, I mean –
because Embiid missed time and Jokic didn't.
Well, I mean, the NBA is going to reward that, and we've had multiple – well,
NBA media.
NBA media is
right.
going to reward that because multiple
voting.
People have said, well, you got to be there. You got to show up. But, I mean, for Joel Embiid to have one first-place vote, I mean, that's stupid.
For him to have
that's
the same
absurd.
Amount of votes as Derrick Rose is a travesty.
I had nothing to do with that. I had no. I had
that
nothing to do with
one
that.
Vote.
I didn't have a vote.
The devil is a liar.
So he shows up.
Derrick Rose was a fan vote.
So he shows up.
How many votes did you put in?
I cannot confirm nor deny.
As a fan,
I can't. I cannot say.
His perfect attendance is showing up and being available. But nobody also, in Denver is watching him, first of all, because they're not on TV locally.
That is pretty amazing.
So you get rid of that. And then from a national standpoint, how many games do we actually see Denver in a national spotlight?
We've seen them a lot more than you think. But, again, this is voted by NBA media, whose job is to watch.
I get it.
Everything.
I understand it.
It's a cute little narrative.
But when I'm watching him, even though he had a good game, and I'm watching him be just yesterday alone,
yeah,
that doesn't look the same. And when you tell me the first center since Shaq, and then you use Shaq and him in the same breath, I frown. But if you'd have said Embiid and Shaq, I wouldn't have frowned like that because Embiid's game I just like that more than I like that. That doesn't appeal to me.
I know, you're big on the
visual. I don't
want
to get lost in the conversation, though, because I feel like Joel Embiid should definitely have more than one first-place vote.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I'm not going to sit up here and say that Nikola Jokic doesn't deserve to be the MVP. Dude almost averaged a triple-double now. So I know you can sit there and say it doesn't look right, it doesn't feel sexy. But if you watch basketball, though, I mean, what he's doing on the court is pretty special. Dude did average 26 points per game, 10.5 rebounds, close to 9 assists. I mean, the numbers speak for themselves. I mean, it's pretty special. And without Jamal Murray, he kept them in the upper echelon of the West.
He deserves to be the MVP, but based on what I saw throughout the course of the season, whenever Embiid was on the court, it flashed to me more.
Let me ask you a question.
That's
if
all.
You're going by the visual.
If you were a guard that can put in work at your size, your frame, who would you rather have on your team? Would you rather have Jokic or would you rather have Embiid? Because I'll tell you, as a guard, pick and pop with the way this dude can pass,
and the way
he can move and shoot,
that's
a guard's dream. You're the worst.
I just want to know.
Literally, if I come off a screen, I have dual options with you.
Okay.
You have the versatility to either roll to the basket and make a play because you have good footwork, right? Or you can pop out and I can kick it back to you and you can either make a three or you can put the ball down on the ground and make a play with your passing ability, seeing over the top.
I just wanted you to explain
I just wanted to explain it and break it down for the people that didn't
know
pick and pop meant.
Again, like we can break down his game and his impact. Obviously, the Nuggets were a very good team this year, and he was a big part of their winning. But it's also another remarkable story, not just because it's yet another international player to win the MVP. That's three in a row now. Giannis wins two, and then he wins this one. Giannis was the lowest drafted player to win the MVP until this. Jokic was a second-round pick. He was a second-round pick. He told the story to Rachel Nichols. He was sleeping when he was drafted. He was home. He didn't even think about it. he was sleeping. So, you know, it is still what he's made himself into is also something to celebrate. A player who was considered overweight. Michael Malone was wearing the T-shirt yesterday when celebrating it about overweight, too slow.
Big conversation this offseason. How is he going to come back? What kind of shape is he going to come back in? And let's not forget, like, how dominant Jamal Murray was last year in the bubble now.
Yeah.
I mean, he was
50-point games.
Dominant. Yeah. So the fact that they've been able to sustain without him.
Right.
And Michael Porter Jr. has ascended. Mm-hmm. The team is on their way.
Yeah, no, shows you how important he's been. But he had a terrific season, no doubt about it. But, yes, we always look at the voting and wonder, how did this player get a vote? LeBron got one vote overall, a fifth-place vote, one. Keeps the streak going. Steph Curry got some first-place votes, so that's where it's at. But Embiid was two. So where the NBA is right now, two centers at one and two in the MVP voting after this season. But speaking of MVPs, where's the NFL's MVP? That's after Key has this from Indeed.
The good news is your business doubled. The even better news is Indeed can help you hire the right people without the wait times of typical recruiting processes. That's because Indeed has a great hiring platform where you can make calls, schedule virtual interviews, and talk to candidates over video right from your easy-to-use employer dashboard. It's just another reason Indeed delivers four times more hires than all the other job sites combined, according to Talent Nest. Find your next great hire at Indeed.com/credit.
For Aaron Rodgers, you either die a hero or you live long enough to become the villain.
When training camp hits, that becomes the point where these two sides have to say, okay, are we going to find a way to make this work? Do we really need to send Aaron Rodgers elsewhere?
More from Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin next. Brought to you by Skechers. Skechers, comfort included.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
Clings to the corner to Morris. 3 seconds, 2 seconds, blocked by Gobert. 1 second, he fires a two. The Jazz are going to win. The Defensive Player of the Year, Rudy Gobert, blocks the shot in the corner, and the Utah Jazz have taken a 1-0 lead over the LA Clippers.
That's why they call him the Stifle Tower. The call on 97.5, the Zone. Rudy Gobert's win ceiling block with seconds remaining cements a 112-109 victory for the Jazz over the Clippers in game one of their second round series. Donovan Mitchell, his third career 45-point playoff game, tied for third most in a player's first 30 career games in NBA playoff history. By the way, he's only played 28. Joel Embiid went for a playoff career high 40 points as the Sixers tie their series with the Hawks 1-1. Embiid is the first 76ers player with 40 points in a playoff game since Allen Iverson had 45 in 2003. He's also the first 40-10 player in Sixers history since Billy Cunningham in 1970. I bet you didn't know that, Yates. Nikola Jokic wins MVP after a dominant all-around season. Jokic is the fourth center since 1984 to win the MVP and the first since Shaquille O'Neal in 2000. SportsCenter brought to you by Goodyear. Goodyear knows from here on out. Every game is a chance to create momentum, to make the right pass, the right move, to hit the perfect shot. It takes momentum to get through the playoffs. It takes everything to capture a title. Goodyear, more driven.
One thing we should point out about the new CBA is that he'll get fined $50,000 a day for training camp. So 10 days of training camp is $500,000.
They either going to make him sit and force his hand to come in, or they're going to trade him, and it's all going to fall on Aaron either way.
Keyshawn, J. Will, Zubin, presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Alan Hahn in for Zubin. And guys, we talked to Rob Domofsky yesterday, who covers the Packers for ESPN. We talked to Adam Schefter as well yesterday.
What, man? Just read.
I am not reading. I'm just trying to set up the segment, and I'm just glancing over at you guys giggling. So something funny happened, and I missed out.
We're like big kids, man.
And yeah, I feel like, man. I know, which is why I love working with you guys.
Especially me.
I just like to be in on the
– Key gives me some looks sometimes where I just can't. I start laughing.
Hey, phrasing.
Big kid.
Right, damn it.
I play too much. Everybody always says, you play too damn much, man.
It's like every time we have a break and I go to the bathroom, all you hear is, doom, 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 doom. I'm like, come on, Key. Like, you're the only dude in the whole studio
that will pound
on the door like you the police. You know I'm going to the bathroom, man.
I play too much.
All the time,
I admit, I play too damn much.
This is why I tell people they take you too seriously.
Oh, but Keyshawn, he's it.
No. You just take him too seriously.
No, they want to take me serious. That's the problem. They don't even know me.
They.
And they. I look at you, and you see how I stare
people.
At you.
Do you see how you stare at me?
And your big blue eyes.
Stare right through me with the
big blue eyes.
And I don't take you seriously, which is why I enjoy it. I think it's very entertaining. And I'm trying to make sure everybody else sees that, too. That's my job.
Well, they
my
should job tune is also in more.
To get, yeah, they should. They should, Jay.
Those people.
Those people.
You all.
What does
you
that
all.
Mean?
Just, I don't know.
Who are you referring to?
But my job right now is to get into this conversation. It has to do, of course, with Aaron Rodgers, because it's been a whole half hour, guys.
How many days?
Ah! How many days,
same
Jay?
Time!
Are we at 90? Evan,
how many days, Evan?
Be like 80. We're down
we
like 80.
We need to rip it off the wall.
Yeah, we need the
charts. See, I don't
have
go.
It on the wall. Rip it down right, each day.
So here's how math works, guys. Last here's week was 100 days on Tuesday.
Yes.
There was a big memo sent out. I think I forwarded to you guys.
Evan, give us 100 emails a day,
I definitely sent out a memo that said it was 100 days. That was last Tuesday. There are 7 days in a week. Today is Wednesday.
So
we
right,
are at 92 days till the NFL season.
There you go.
Every time I see Evan, trash.
See, this is what I don't like. So I don't like about it. Before he did his breakdown, he said, you see, guys, this is how math works. Mm. Like, why start there?
I to be honest with you, I was going to say, as I told you a couple days ago, Alan, I don't count the regular season start a kickoff on Thursday night. I don't do that.
That's not the start for
no,
you.
When is the first team entering training camp?
Yes.
What is the first day
of
that
training camp.
Team in training camp? That's
Cowboys,
when the season kicks
the Cowboys
off.
Still go to that place in California?
Oxnard,
yeah, right? They still do that?
For a couple weeks.
Yeah.
I think it's like probably 3 weeks they go to Oxnard,
right.
3 or 4 weeks. Yeah.
You only did Hofstra. You never had to do Cortland?
No, only Hofstra.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That Cortland thing.
But that Hofstra thing was hot, too.
Did you have to go in the dorm?
Yeah, we stayed
in the dorm beds.
Yeah, at hospital.
Why would they make you do that? I still never understood.
Put the two beds together.
I don't even know.
Jay, can you imagine like not just Key and his size? How about a 300-pound lineman going? Hey,
no,
there's
but
your,
that's
there's
not.
Your bed.
But that's not the issue. The issue, and I know we're moving. We're getting on, but I'm going to get to it. The issue is taking the twin beds, because typically in these dorms, the twin beds were made out of metal. The metal,
yes.
And they would stack on top of each
right.
other as bunks.
Right.
You have to take them down, push them together to get, I guess two twins would give you a queen maybe, I guess, or something like that or whatever. Oh. But that wasn't the problem. The damn problem is the edge post on the beds had sharp edges, and you long, and you trying to extend, yeah. So you put your feet up. Man, I got all type of cuts from stabbing myself in the middle of the damn night.
Did you have to share a room?
No, we had a suite. So I had a room, and then you know you have the middle portion.
Middle portion.
So eventually I had to take tape and put tape around it. Mm-hmm. It was
some MacGyver stuff.
Oh, it was crazy. But Tampa Bay.
They did it right.
Tampa
Bay. That's why Tom went to Tampa Bay.
Tampa Bay
right.
was right.
They do it right.
We practiced at Disney. at the Disney World facility?
Worldwide, the sports.
Yeah, the whole deal.
Complex.
Oh, man. You come in out of that heat, walk into that hotel lobby. Oh.
Yeah. Nice.
Oh, it was so good.
Yeah.
You see why we won a championship.
Is that why?
Messing with y'all.
Strictly because of facility.
What were we talking about again?
Well, we were talking about how many days. So, Keith, Evan has how many days until the first training camp opens?
Yes. So, the Steelers are the Steelers and Cowboys, because they play in the Hall of Fame game, they're able to begin camp on July 21st.
So that's what we got.
There are
baby.
41 days until the NFL season starts.
Yes.
All right. 41?
Yes.
So, not
we're under 50.
Like you just reprimanded us.
Okay. Yes. Well, no. Yeah. I mean, I'm now annoyed because, you know, 59 days ago we could have done the 100-day countdown. Like we wasted months of
we didn't do anything.
A countdown.
We're not the producer.
Me.
Well,
yes.
I mean, the moment
we should have clock on the screen right now, counting it down, counting it down on the clock, just every day. That's where it should be, because you know me, us, we. On the sidelines, reporters, that first training camp, minute 7-on-7. Oh, he threw, let's see, that was a slant. Oh, that was 5-for-7.
Slant wasn't really a slant.
No, it wasn't a slant.
Was that voice different than your normal voice?
Well, that's what we do. Yeah, when we're together, we all talk in that voice.
They do.
They do.
But we take every stat. It's training camp. Every stat. Doesn't matter. Like, every stat. This is the performance he had today.
He had two drops today.
Yeah. It's just, that's why day one of training camp is important. And day one of training camp, we did not expect to have Aaron Rodgers there. But you will have Jordan Love there. And I think it's a very important training camp. I think it's a very important mini camp for Jordan Love. Everything that Jordan Love is doing right now for the past, like if you yesterday and have talked about how it's OTAs, doesn't matter. Mini camp, it doesn't matter. Well, you're the NFL player.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. Like, you downplay a lot of this stuff. If there's a level of importance to these, there's no greater importance than to Jordan Love and the Packers. It has to be, because you don't think Aaron Rodgers is going to be there.
It is for Jordan Love's sake of the team, not for Jordan Love as an individual, because he slid into the position if Aaron Rodgers is not going to be there. Everybody makes this, I don't know, crazy feeling about mini camps and OTAs. Mini camps and OTAs are not going to give you the measuring stick in which you need to go into the season about what your team is or that particular player, that particular individual.
That's fair, but how about the reps, though, with starters
reps
like Devontae Adams? Yes.
No, because Devontae Adams is barely getting any reps. I don't even think Devontae Adams practiced yesterday.
Okay.
Think about it.
Okay.
He's not getting any reps, because if anything, he's going pat and go. He may do a little bit of one-on-ones. He's going to do some drills. And that's pretty much it, because it's a mini camps usually are only 3 to 4 days. And you're trying to get a look at the undrafted free agents, the rookie guys that come in, the free agents you sign. And that's pretty much it. You want to see Jordan Love kind of take control, get in and out of the huddle, process the information, spit it out, so you can gauge the way the team feels about him. But that's not going to ultimately make your decision come the fall time on what he is at quarterback.
But this is where I do think Jordan Love will get a lot of reps. He'll get reps in how he communicates with teammates. You just made mention of that, right? Mm-hmm. Building those relationships. I also think you get reps with the media. And here's where I think there's a – look, regardless of however an opportunity was afforded to you, it's afforded to you. This is your opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
So as all this stuff happens with Aaron Rodgers, as fans start to say, hey, pack it up, Aaron Rodgers, get out of here, I think it's a major chance for Jordan Love to start gaining some runway with fans and people saying, hey, look, like, this is what was given to me.
Our guy.
I'm going to make the best of it. I am here. I want to be here. I'm doing all the right things. Let me show you how I'm doing all the right things to set me up for where I want to go.
With that in mind, too, and you mentioned Devontae Adams, I want to ask you, Key, if you're Devontae Adams, you're in his situation. Put yourself in his, it's you, though, but you're in his situation. Free agency coming up, you're QB1, nowhere to be found, probably not coming, and a young, raw quarterback right now seems to be the guy that's going to throw to you. I'm the reporter, and the first time I get a chance to talk to you, I'm going to ask you about the Aaron Rodgers situation. He's not here. How are you feeling about the situation with the Packers right now, the quarterback situation for you as the wide receiver? How are you feeling about it?
I'm going to go out there and do my job. I'm going to do what I need to do to help the young guy until Aaron gets here. If Aaron comes, then great. And if he doesn't, I got to do what I did for Aaron for Jordan Love and get him to understand that certain things when he delivers a football, I don't have to be wide open. Just let it go. I'm going to win for you. And that's pretty much it.
Are you concerned about how it could affect you since you have free agency coming up?
No, because if I sit around and I worry about free agency, then, you know, it's going to play in my mind. I'm going to go out there and do my best for my team.
Is there a part of you that wishes you could appeal to Aaron Rodgers and tell him how much you need him here?
No, I talk to Aaron all the time, but I don't get involved in what Aaron has going on with the front office. I support my dude 100%. Whatever his decision is at the end of the day, I got to take care of my business right now. That's why I'm at minicamp.
But see, this is why I really enjoy this, because I know you're going to keep asking questions. I'm telling you, you're going to keep getting corporate answers. Like, so I love what, because I watch this happen all the time in a meeting as an ex-player. I see it. You keep going with the questions, and they're really good questions.
Because I'll get the answer I want eventually.
You ain't going to get nothing out of me.
You're not, though. You're gonna always going
to
be a
spin. You're going to have to go back to your little raggedy-ass computer and put something together and make it sound like I said what I didn't say.
Always going
to
be
blast you when next time you come in.
It's interesting.
Because you're not going to get anything.
But what you said, everything you said there is pretty much parallel, and we'll call this Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless, to actually what Devontae Adams said when he was asked about Aaron Rodgers and the whole situation. Take a listen.
I got his back through everything, so he knows at the end of the day, if there's ever a wonder of, you know, he's lost a teammate or something because of all this come out, like, he knows where I stand. I'll stand on the mountain and scream on the mountaintop, you know, that I got his back.
And that was Straight Talk, brought by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. Sound familiar, Jay?
I got Aaron's back. I got Jordan's back. You know, whose back do I need to have?
He also went on, though, when referencing the front office, saying they got to do what they got to do. Like he just, you know.
Yeah,
which means sign my check. That's what they have to do. Because I'm going to provide.
Exactly. And that's for y'all. Yes. Like, that's really what he said there. Like, this is not about me.
And that's true for every single player. You want to have Aaron Rodgers there, and if they can work it out, then great. But if not, I got to do what I got to do for the team right now. Now, eventually, when we get into the season, the Aaron Rodgers isn't there, and we're 2-4, they'll be the ones that get chewed out. That's just the way it works.
Well, that's where the criticism will come, that Devontae didn't make that catch, that Jordan. Like, remember you said, you know, just get it there, I'll make the catch. But what if that doesn't happen? You know you're going to get frustrated.
No, you may get frustrated and pull a young guy aside and get him to understand we got to do it a certain way. We need to work together. Maybe there's extra reps that we take after practice, post practice. Maybe we come in early before practice starts and we go through some things. Eventually, you try to win over his confidence and get him to believe that he can rely on you at the receiver position. You're going to always make it look good, no matter where they throw the ball. Whether it's at your shoelaces, it's going to be a routine catch. Okay, and it's going to look good as long as you throw it. Yeah, I can't help you if you're sitting back there putting him to sleep. You back there patting him, looking,
and
you putting the baby to sleep.
Yeah.
I can't help you then. Let the damn ball go.
Right.
If you let it go, I can help you. But if you're holding on to it or you staring down the gun barrel waiting for it to get fired, that's your own ass. I can't help you.
But see, we asked Rob Domowski yesterday about, hey, will this affect Devontae Adams and his potential contract going forward? He said it confidently, no, it's not going to.
No, I don't think so.
Because you know what Devontae Adams brings to the table.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's my thing. If I'm Devontae Adams, I'm having conversations with my team saying, hey, let's make sure that we're all on the same page with Mark Murphy and Brian Gutekunst about what we have to accomplish this year. But just know, having a young, raw quarterback at this position, it's going to be a lot of growing pains, and we have to be noticed
about
that.
The only thing that hurts for Devontae Adams is if you got a young quarterback that's making you twist and turn and slowing you down.
Set you up.
And you mess around and get hurt. That's the only thing. People don't really understand that. You know, when a guy is running across the middle and somebody throws the ball behind you.
Oh, yeah.
And you go and catch it, and the people on TV, the first thing they say is, oh, well, the quarterback put it only where he could catch it. What a great, he's protecting him. No, the hell he ain't. He threw the ball right there because he missed me. Mm-hmm. So I had to make the adjustment to turn around and catch the ball while the dude hit me in my head. They don't get that. The ball's supposed to be placed in front of me. It's supposed to be like a handoff.
I think a lot of people, when they see the ball thrown behind you on a route, that he missed the throw. A lot of people see that.
People on television will tell you.
People on television.
That's what they would say.
I understand.
He threw the ball only where he was protecting him there. He threw it low. No, he threw it low because
yes.
He wasn't protecting me. He just had a bad throw, and I made the catch.
Right, and you made the play, which is going to be the important part for anybody that Jordan Love throws to this year. Let's bring in Mike Tannenbaum, our ESPN NFL front office insider, on this conversation. He joins us on the Goodyear Hotline. Mike, good morning. I asked the question. It's you know, and you probably have a different take as somebody in a front office, as a coach would as well, of the value of mini camp, of OTAs, even before training camp begins. You know, Key, as a player, you know, it's not important. You're not going to get a lot done. But I would you say, though, that if there's the most important mini camp would be the Packers because of Jordan Love and having to get him up to speed as soon as possible?
Yeah, absolutely, guys. And here's why. Jordan Love didn't play last year. If we go back to the pandemic, every rep was a pressure trap, and that went to the starters. So, you know, if we were having a discussion, you know, does Justin Fields or Jordan Love need OTAs more? You can make the argument that it's Jordan Love because Justin Fields played more football last year than Jordan Love did. And, you know, I think context here is really important. I think what Bruce Arians said recently is really instructive, which is they kind of split their squad. The Tom Brady's of the world don't need the same instruction as their rookies. And I think that's what we're going to see more around the league. So Jordan Love needs every possible rep he can get.
And you mentioned Justin Fields, Jordan Love. They both essentially are rookies because, much like you said, Jordan Love didn't take a rep last year. Who, Mike, is in a better situation this year to succeed? We know what Chicago offense looks like in their skill position players, and we also know what the Green Bay Packers offense looks like with and without Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, no, that's a really good question. Boy, you know, I still like Green Bay, Key, just because they could be so explosive. And I'm thinking even if he plays 12, 13 games, I just don't think Aaron Rodgers sits out the whole year. So I'm going to go with Green Bay.
Mm. Peter King pitched a scenario to trade Aaron Rodgers after, you know, one more season in Green Bay. And, you know, where the scenario essentially was saying, hey, you play for us. We do whatever we do in this year, 2021. After 2021, we're going to do a good old handshake, and I'm going to move you, get maximized the value. How would you approach a situation like that, hadn't been a general manager before? Or would you at all sit up and say that?
Yeah, Key, you know, ironically, I had suggested something similar last week, which was maybe you just take the last 2 years of the contract and you just void him. He plays this year. Now, with that said, that allows Green Bay to have in their back pocket the franchise tag, but at least it kind of accelerates, you know, for both parties, you know, a decision that has to be made. So I think that's a solution that could certainly work. It's the ultimate compromise. It puts a Band-Aid on the season. It's not ideal for either side, but it may be the best result possible. So I think there's some merit there for sure.
Mike, Julio Jones gets traded to the Titans. How good do you think this team is going to be?
I think they're going to compete with Kansas City in the AFC. And, you know, sometimes when you trade wide receivers, they make an impact. Sometimes they don't. And I think this is one of those cases where they do. So I think Julio Jones and A.J. Brown will be a formidable duo, and I like Tennessee a lot.
I felt like that cough was something toward me, but I'm going to leave that alone. Because you know, he said sometimes when you trade wide receivers,
yeah,
they make an impact.
Yeah.
Well,
did they get enough
shots fired?
But did this getting a second round pick for Julio a win? Would you say, considering his age, or could they have done more?
Yeah, no, I think when you factor in $17 million, it's a tough call because I think Julio, if healthy, playing 17 games, he's probably the best receiver in the league. Maybe outside of Tyreek Hill, just because I think Tyreek Hill can make the one or two plays every game that changes the outcome. So from that standpoint, I think Tennessee got good value. One of the hard things, guys, when you sit in that seat is you want to make sure you're trained for what the player is going to do, not what he's done. And that's a little bit of a concern because, you know, clearly Julio Jones's best days are behind him. If he plays in 17 games, I just don't know how you defend that offense. Do you double him? Do you double A.J. Brown? And if you lighten the box, you know, you can give the ball to Derrick Henry. Ryan Tannehill can also make plays with his feet. I think their diversity on their offense is one that's going to be really hard to defend. Their defense is going to have to play much better. But offensively, I put them right up there with Kansas City.
Mm. Okay. Well, I feel different about it, but maybe because I've been a one. Julio Jones has been a one his entire career, and I'm sure he feels – if he's healthy, he's still the one. A.J. Brown has to be able to put up the numbers to get the extension that he's looking for. All of a sudden, you take the football out of Derrick Henry's hands because you got two shiny toys that you think could help you match and play along the way with Kansas City. I don't know. I feel a little bit different about it because Tannehill has never been a 40, you know, attempt type guy with a high completion percentage. With that being said, Mike, let me ask you about Baker Mayfield. How important is this season, not only for the Cleveland Browns, but Baker Mayfield as a whole?
Oh, I think it's really important, Keon, because I just don't know if he's a frontline guy that you're going to want to pay $35, $38 million a year to. I think that's a really good offense. They got maybe the best running back duo in the league. They got really good skill players. And if you're Cleveland, and do you feel like you could get, you know, comparable sort of production out of, say, someone like Kirk Cousins, someone that Kevin Stefanski is familiar with, and now you have $15, $20 million more to give to some of the other talented players on the team. So I think this is a hugely consequential year for Baker Mayfield.
Mike, thanks so much as always. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Thanks, Mike.
Mike Tannenbaum on the Goodyear.
We got to talk about that.
Outline. Yeah.
That last comment by Mike T. I feel like both Key and I have a lot to say about that.
That is interesting. But you know what? More on Milwaukee. Hey, Milwaukee, is this bud still for you? Uh-oh. That's next. KJZ, ESPN Radio, and Sirius XM, Channel 80.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.